Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates, to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined today by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed. I think we're recognizing that each and every day. And we're grateful that we've awakened today, physically first and spiritually second, only because for us to recognize that we'd have to be here physically first for this journey on earth. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with our prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication on this 11th day of January. Actually, this month is fleeting. But this is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. It's the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My apology for my allergies today. I'm going to try to grab the mute button before I cough, but if I inadvertently do it opposite, because sometimes I feel like I'm dyslexic, I apologize. I'll apologize in advance of any cough in your ears. Welcome, Benedictine Daughters of my wife. I see Sister Francesca, Sister Gemma, and Sister Elizabeth are all with us today. Hello, Sister Francesca. Welcome. Well, let me just get you. That's my fault. I think I had you on mute. There we go.
Okay, here we go. Hey, everyone. Hey, Peter.
What a joy to be here, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about in the kitchen earlier. It's beautiful that there's no special holiday today, because every day is like a special holiday, and then we're free to just pick whatever passage we want.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, but you know who came to mind, who always comes to my mind? Well, not always, but as often as I'd like. Not as often as I'd like, but I should. Our Blessed Lady. Because, yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, all that she has done over the years. Again, she was she's the trumpeter for her son. And if you think about, she lets us know exactly what's going to happen before it happens. I mean, look at all her anytime she's had a visitation to anyone, it's always bringing a message of concern, of hope, of advice, of information. I mean, we can spend all day doing that, but just for example, like in Fatima, she told us there's going to come a time, 100 years in advance, she tells us there's going to come a time where there's going to be a diabolical disorientation. She says, good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people, some good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. Again, exactly where we are today. And then just to reference Our Lady of Akita recently in the 70s, I believe it was, where she says they're going to come a time, bishop against bishop, cardinal against cardinal, priest versus priest. Aren't we finding that same scenario playing out with this Fiducia Supplicans, which just came out from the Vatican regarding the blessing of the individuals that are in sin, not the sinful act? And before I forget, if anyone wants a clarification of that, the Vatican just put one out, I think, a couple of days ago. But there's another clarification also that Father Iannuzzi, Joseph Iannuzzi, who has a program on Saturday afternoon, I think it's 12 noon, on the same Radio Maria, put out a theological explanation and clarification of it. And again, it's just to give you a quick point, because again, it's been a bone of contention. I mean, everyone I meet, and many have taken this in the wrong direction. I just wanted to just mention this. Okay, so just let me read this quickly, just to put some clarity on this. Point blank, what is the purpose of this? Well, the purpose of the FS Declaration is through the use of a sacramental blessing to lead souls who seek love and faithfully serve God to plea and who plead for a better life and or who beg that the relationship be healed and freed, to grasp his saving presence and live in accord with his most holy will. So again, I look at it this way. It's actually arrogant. If I'm to say somebody should not receive a blessing, I mean, can you imagine if someone said St. Paul shouldn't receive a blessing? He was a sinful man. Or St. Mary Magdalene, she's too bad. She shouldn't receive a blessing. No, God knows. God knows the heart. And thank God, because many times, I think most times, I give the appearance, well, I don't love God either, but it's in my heart, but I just don't express it as much as I'd like to. So again, just with clarity on this, if anyone would like a copy of this, it's free. I'd be happy to send it to you. Just send us an email at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. I'd be happy to send it off to you. Sister Francesca.
Yeah, I remember when the document first came out, you know, the first thing you see is just you have a bunch of emails in the inbox, you know, from all different directions. And, you know, what do? You go straight to the horse's mouth. You go look at the document. I ended up looking for a video on YouTube from Christopher West, who's, you know, somebody in the church who's I trust very much his opinion. And that's exactly what he did. He quickly put out a video basically reading not the whole document, but, you know, some of the key passages, and the document's very, very clear. So if anybody, you know, has issues, they should really just go to the horse's mouth rather than just kind of go all over the internet reading all these emails. I mean, just see what the actual document says. And there's obviously nothing against church teaching there.
No, that's true. And, you know, it reminds me also a couple of years ago, I think it was a couple of years because time is fleeting. Remember when the headlines were, the Pope says, homosexuals may receive communion. Remember that was the headline. It's all it said. Homosexuals may receive Holy Communion. And everybody, I mean, many people were up in arms, especially the conservative arm of our church. And just to your point, sister, if you go into the document, what did the Pope say before that? He said, if someone who's living a sinful life recognizes their sinfulness, asks for forgiveness, repents their life, wants entrance back into the church, performs or goes to the sacrament of reconciliation, and then is back into the church in good standing, may receive Holy Communion. That's all good. I think nobody, no Catholic, no Christian would disagree with that. But to put a headline, homosexuals can receive Holy Communion. Again, I think the media is aiding and abetting this division. I think it sells. It's sort of sensual for them. But also, we have to remember, they uncovered the Communist Manifesto many, many years ago. And it said in that manifesto, there were certain things that they said they had to do. But they did recognize that the Catholic Church is the greatest impediment to global communism. And it must be removed. So how do you kill a snake? You cut the head, right? You don't cut the tail because the head can still bite you. So they tried to go after Christ. Okay, we know how that worked out. Didn't work out well. Then in 70 AD, They form this miraculous force, this group that's going to go out there and persecute all Christians. Then they realize that 1,500 years later, you know, this isn't working too well. We're not getting enough recruitments. Let's change our name. And they changed it to the Freemasons. And they're still running alive. Again, many, many Freemasons are good people. They don't know the true intention of the order. They were the miraculous force. So again, they tried to cut off the head. They could not get Christ. So now they go to the vicar of Christ on earth. They're going after the Pope. And anytime we jump on this and we aid in a bed, we're actually, again, we're just like Our Lady at Fatima said, good people doing bad things, thinking they're doing good. So some of these conservative bloggers that contact me and send me emails, I mean, denouncing, saying the Pope has to go, not even calling him the Pope. They call him other names, nefarious names. Mm-hmm. This is just, it's not helping. It's not helping anything. And again, I think it's aiding and abetting. So we have to be very careful. And I think your admonition was perfect. Go to the document. Go to the source. Don't rely on the headline itself. Go to the document. Read for yourself.
Yeah. Perfect. Because, I mean, they're looking to activate our emotions. The devil is looking to divide. The devil is, he's really brilliant. He's smarter than all of us.
Yeah,
So he's going to attack both extremes. He's going to attack both ends to create division in the church as much as possible. And the safest way to be is with Christ, with the truth, and just always constantly seek after what the truth is. And then also pray. I think all of us out here who may be frustrated with this situation and are, you know, we just see what's going on in the church and in the world. And we really are called to, rather than, you know, constantly search things on the internet and get upset and argue, we really need to pray and intercede for everyone that's who, whether it's creating the division, whether it's in the midst of division, whether it's suffering from the division, you know, whatever it is, it's like we have to really pray for our Holy Mother Church.
Yeah. And the point of this whole dialogue was the fact that, okay, if Our Lady's been spot on, you know, if you bat 300 in baseball, yeah, you're placed into the Hall of Fame. Our Lady's batting 1,000. She's been spotless. So if she's been so perfect in the past, and now she's bringing us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, she's introducing us to the divine will. Why are we not paying attention to her? Why are we not trusting? Like, I'm sure there were naysayers at Akita and Fatima that said, oh no, but it's been proven. So when somebody's hitting 1,000, when they're batting 1,000, you want them to go to bat. So Our Lady, I mean, just to give it an instance of this, you know, in the three appeals, which again, have been extrapolated from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, this is the appeal of Our Blessed Mother. Again, this has the Church's Imprimatur Neolapsus in its Italian translation. And this is Our Lady speaking, quote, she's speaking to us through Luisa. So she's addressing Luisa, quote, "Dearest daughter, I feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to offer you my maternal visits. If you assure me of your filial love and faithfulness, I will remain always with you in your soul to be your teacher, your model, your example, your most tender mother. I come to invite you to enter the kingdom of your tender mother, the kingdom of the divine will. And I knock at the door of your heart that you may invite me in." Wow. End quote. So again, perfect in Fatima, perfect in Akita, perfect in Our Lady of La Salette. She's perfect in the divine will also. And the program just before us was speaking about St. Mary Margaret Alico, who gave us, without her, we wouldn't have the devotion to the Sacred Heart. Well, that was a private revelation.
Yeah.
So if someone's going to say a private revelation, they're you know, poo-poo it. No, that was a private revelation. This is also a private revelation for Luisa as well. So we can't poo-poo mystics when authenticated by the Church. Again, there are some that perhaps are not heavenly inclined, but again, the Church will vent that out. That's really not our job to do. But we can sense. When we crack an egg, we can smell if the egg is not kosher. It's not good. Yeah. Discarded. So God's given us these senses to be able to overcome this. But again, Our Lady's. We can go on and on and on about Our Lady. And again, she's calling us to divine will. So if at the least, give her a chance, give her an opportunity. If you have nothing to lose, which you really don't, try, venture into the divine will. Listen to one of our programs. Listen to one of Father Nuzzi's programs. Contact us. Read our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. The sisters have their website all chock full of nuts of the divine will. What do we have to lose? And what do we have to gain? Now, I think of this, sister. Sisters, our Lord and Our Lady have introduced this to us. And it's we have a free will. We can accept it or we can decline it. I thought to myself, okay, if I decline this, I better start working on my excuse speech because I know Jesus is going to ask me, okay, I gave you everything. I gave you my mother. She gave you this track record that she had. It was perfect. Why didn't you believe? Why didn't you have faith? Why didn't you have trust? And remember, Jesus tells us in volume 2, he defines faith. Faith is God. So when Jesus says in the past, you know, when I return, will I find faith? Basically he's saying, when I return, will I find God? Will I find me in your hearts? Well, not your heart, sister, but you know, our hearts. I know where your hearts are. But she's Sister Elizabeth. She's smiling. She's saying yes. you know, it's all here for us. And again, I appeal, and I'm a nobody. I appeal, just try it. You know, there used to be a commercial. Help me out with this. Mikey. Hey, Mikey. He likes it. Try it. You like it. I forget.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
Was it a cereal commercial?
Yeah, it was Life cereal, I think.
Okay. I remember the silliest things, the things I should remember. I should remember. I don't. And something just.
We were just talking about that the other day. We were singing commercial jingles like from like 30 years ago in the kitchen the other day. So if only I remembered like good and useful things as well as I remember these commercial jingles.
I can't. That and movie trivia and all that stuff was so important because, again, not to bore anyone, but I wasn't raised in the faith. I was born Catholic, but I did nothing Catholic. We never prayed. We never said grace. We only went to church maybe on Easter, maybe. I never heard the word God in my house. I mean, my parents didn't despise God. It was as if he didn't exist. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that I was able to recognize, but I couldn't recognize him by God's gentle nudges. He had to strip me of everything at the age of 27. I had to go crawling back to my parents' house. But it's the single greatest thing that ever happened to me. That was the single greatest thing. The second greatest thing that ever happened to me in 2017, I was on my way to my youngest daughter's wedding to the church, which is only a mile from our house. And we were having a gathering that day. And I make a long story short, I was going to take my pickup truck. It's pouring rain out. And my doctor's wife, who was also a friend of the family, says, "No, Peter, take our brand new car. Take our Mini Cooper. You look so nice in your tuxedo." I said, no, I'll just take my truck. Thank you, thank you. But I said, okay, I'll take it. So I took the Mini Cooper and I hydroplaned going to church. I hit a tree. And the doctor said 98% of the people that are involved in an accident like I was, they die at the scene.
Oh, wow.
I basically had the muscle that holds my aorta was dangling. So, and I'm trying to bargain. I'm trying to negotiate with the EMT workers. Oh, let me go to the wedding. It's only 100 yards away. I'll sign a waiver. The doctor says if I had gone to that wedding, I would have died some point during the wedding, perhaps during the father-daughter dance. So, you know, but in that accident, in God's mysterious permissible will, yes, I was in the hospital for 3 or 4 months. I was in rehabilitation at home. I couldn't walk. I broke every rib. I fractured my hip, a lot of other things. But it was in those months when I was stuck in bed, almost like Louisa, but I don't even want to put myself in that category. But I had nothing to do but read, study, and talk to God. And it was in that time that I was able to get through the Book of Heaven and Father Iannuzzi's dissertation.
I wish everybody could see what your book looked like, Peter.
Yeah, I know.
And it shows that it has been read.
I bruised it up a little bit here. Yeah. So, but the point I'm trying to make here is I would have not had the time. I would have not made the time to digest what I have digested. I've only cut off a sliver of the divine will. But again, God puts things in our way. He takes things out of our way. In fact, he says in the volumes, if you begin to start losing things, know that you're not losing things, but rather it's me taking things away from you. So again, we have to be stripped a bit. I'm not saying that I'm hoping that everyone loses everything like I did. But again, I think if you wake up sooner to the gentle nudge, God won't have to, you know, throw you out of bed, so to speak.
Or if you start losing things, maybe you're just getting older and you forget where you put them. That's happened. Well, that happens to me.
I didn't want to mention
but I'm
that. Thank you, Sister Francesca, for reminding me that I'm much older than you sisters. Thank you very much.
I once went all over my office. This is before I was a sister, so I was still in my 20s. The office of my job, looking for my keys to my to the door, and they were in my hands as I was looking for them. Talking about, you know, early senility.
Oh, you mean like my eyeglasses on top of my head? I'm looking all over the house. Where are they? Oh, they're here.
God has to laugh at us. Yeah, I guess we could just jump right into the volumes. The passage I chose today was from volume 36, October 12th, 1938. I found it to be a very, very consoling passage, especially for anybody who's in the midst of suffering. So Louisa starts off saying, "I live in the arms of the divine will, oppressed by the nightmare of the cruelest sufferings, so as to move all of heaven to pity and make it run to my rescue, to strengthen me in my painful condition. My Jesus, help me. Do not abandon me. I feel like giving up. How hard it is to endure my condition." I just want to stop there for a second. We're about halfway through the 36th volume. So Louisa has been journeying in the divine will for like 60 years already, 50 years. And she's still honest with the Lord when sufferings are painful to her. She cries out to him for help. She says she feels like giving up. So anyone out there suffering, don't feel like you have to pretend or white knuckle it or feel like this, you know, spiritual superhero. Be honest with the Lord. It's okay. Luisa always gave her fiat, but she was honest about when things were painful and she cried out to him for help.
I have a quick question. I'm sorry.
Sure.
What is white knuckle? What does that mean?
Oh, white knuckle, like when you clench your fists and your knuckles are white. And it's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked
me. Like my wife does to me when I don't clean the house. Okay, I got you.
Now
I know. Okay, I was like, don't white knuckle me. Okay, now I know.
There you go. And then I'll continue because then I'm going to read how Jesus, you know, reprimands Luisa and says, you know, grow up and have more courage. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see just how sweetly Jesus responds to Luisa. As I was saying this, more tenderly than the tenderest of mothers, my sweet Jesus stretched out his arms to me and embraced me. And joining his tears to mine, full of goodness, he said to me, "My poor daughter, your pains are mine. And I suffer with you. So take courage and abandon yourself in me, and you will find the strength that you need to endure your sufferings. The soul who abandons herself in me grows like a baby under the care of his mama. She swaddles him to strengthen his limbs, feeds him her milk, holds him in her arms, kisses him, and caresses him. And if he cries, she mixes her tears with her baby's. In this way, the mother is the life of her baby. And oh, if the little one did not have his mother, how badly he would fare without the one who nurses him with her milk, without clothing, and without her warmth. He would grow sickly, weak, and lonely, so that it would take a miracle for him to survive. So it is with the soul who lives abandoned in my arms. She has her Jesus, who is more than a mother for her. I feed her with the milk of my graces. I swaddle her with the light of my will, so that she may be strengthened and confirmed in goodness. I cuddle her close to my chest, so that she might feel only my love and the ardent beats of my heart. And I rock her in my arms. If she cries, I cry with her, so that I feel that my life is more hers than mine. While she grows together with me and I do with her, when she grows together with me and I do with her what I want. On the other hand, the soul who does not live abandoned in me lives as if she were on her own, without milk and without anyone to take care of her. On the other hand, the soul who lives abandoned in me finds a refuge from her sufferings, a hiding place where she can go and no one can touch her. I'm just going to skip ahead just a little bit. My daughter, let them talk and do as they please, so long as they do not interfere with our union. Nobody can enter into our secrets, into the depths of my love, nor can they stop me from doing what I want with my creatures. Let us live with one single will, and all will be well between you and me." So, you know, living in the divine will is living like a baby in Jesus's arms. You know, I think a lot of times the temptation when I'm not going to even say when we start on the journey, you know, I still fall into this temptation. We try to live in the divine will with our own will. We try to do all the things ourselves that Jesus tells us to do rather than, you know, just embrace our nothingness and our littleness and our poverty and throw ourselves in the arms of Jesus and say, yeah, I can't do this. I'm that weak. I'm that, you know, I lack that much virtue. I'm this little. And just trusting in Jesus to give you the strength that you need in every circumstance, to ask him to do everything in, within, and through you. And really what this passage told me is that Jesus's love is really our strength in everything. You know, a baby knows that he's loved in his mother's arms. You know, when we know we're loved by God, everything is possible. Everything does feel easy. And I think that's really the secret in all of our sufferings. And then anything that we're asked to do, whether easy or difficult, just do it all in the embrace of our Lord, you know, just receiving constantly with every breath, every movement, every action, his love. And that's going to be our strength. That's what's going to enable us to constantly to stay open to his will and to just say fiat at every moment. So I just found this passage very consoling, especially the fact that it started with Luisa struggling in her sufferings, that, you know, it is okay to struggle. This was at the end of her volumes. She's been living this way and she was the mystic. for all these years, and she was still little enough to say, you know, Jesus, I'm struggling, help me. And I think that's really what he wants. That's what living in the divine will is, being abandoned to him, you know, in that way.
So true. You know, that was articulated very well. I know you don't like compliments, but, you know, it sort of...
Who said that? You think
that's what I've been told, right? The grapevine, heard it through the grapevine. You know, I like what St. John the Cross says. He says that mystical wisdom comes through love. And that's so important, because if we think about it, you know, knowledge seeps into our ears. It gravitates into our intellect. Then it hopefully resides in our memory. But it's through grace that it's then converted, that knowledge is converted into wisdom. And speaking of wisdom, let's just go to wisdom 6, 12 and 14. It says, quote, resplendent and unfading is wisdom. Unfading is wisdom. And she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire, end quote. So if this wisdom was so difficult, then that would destroy the whole plan of God, because he wants us to be wise in his love. And to your point, you know, sister, in your humility, you mentioned about, you know, journey. Well, we're all journeying, no matter if we're doing it for 10 days or 30 years. But rest assured that Jesus says you don't have to know this gift of the divine will completely. You don't. That's for me to do. Hit me, not me, but he. And he says that in volume 23, February 28, 1928. He says, quote, therefore, each additional knowledge about my divine volition is one new creation that it forms in creatures, of happiness, of unreachable beauty, because it is a divine life that runs within it, bringing within itself all the shades of the beauties of he who manifests them, and all the keys of the sounds of the joys and happinesses of our divine being. However, all those who have acquired these knowledges, whether in full or in part, will have the noble title of children of my kingdom. End quote. Wow. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Side here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
Thank you again, Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. We've only a few on the playground today, but it doesn't matter because we've got the game in motion. Speaking of the game, we talked about our Blessed Lady batting 1,000 and using baseball analogy. You know who else is batting 1,000? Radio Maria. They're batting 1,000 in providing the best Catholic radio programming that there's there. And it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And of course, it's divine providence that they're there and they've lasted so long and they've grown to the extent that they have. But God, I truly believe God wishes for us to all participate. And we could all participate in a myriad of different ways. I mean, we can, some of us can be on air, some of us can be listening, can be praying, can be giving spiritually. And for those who have been endowed and blessed to be able to give financially, again, it operates in the world, not of the world. And there are expenses in this world, unfortunately, that have to be paid. And again, those who have been endowed, we are asking you, we're pleading, we're making our own appeal, for lack of a better phrase, that if you can help out in any way, and there's no gift that's too small or too great to help this beautiful, beautiful mission of bringing Catholic programming to the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Now, we're going to make an offer also. We'd like to give a gift. And again, this gift is available whether you're listening live now or if you're listening to this in the archives at some later time. But anyone making a donation in any amount, hopefully a monthly reoccurring, which actually helps Brady and Maria ascertain what they have, when they're going to have it, to know what they can do and what they can't do. If you can be so kind to make that donation, we will send you free as a gift, a Luisa Picanetta relic prayer card. And what's so cool about this prayer card is it actually is a relic card. It has a piece of Luisa's clothing embedded in the top of the card. And it's a two-prong card. It's got contact information on the back of the card, whom to contact, when you experience your miracle, not if you do. Because I think we're all experiencing miracles throughout the day. Some of us notice them, and some of us, like me, don't. Again, please, be as generous as you can. And the great news here is God knows what we can do and cannot do. And again, that's going to be good for most and bad for some, because again, God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. So please, if you can, 888-408-0201. Again, Radio Maria, Catholic programming, batting 1,000. Our Lady batting 1,000. Batting 1,000 also is Sister Gemma. Hi, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I would like to add something of what Sister Francesca was saying before, and also the passage that I was reading today. I think it goes very well with what she was saying before, and to live also to do God's will, to accept God's will. That's a big part also to give you peace in your during your life. And the passage that I'm going to read is from volume 31, March 5th, 1933. And it says, my good daughter, the human will, it wages war on God and on itself. The weapons that it moves against its creature wound itself, and its soul remain a tattered body before God. Every act of human will divides him from his creator, from his sanctity, from his strength, power, from his love and immutability. Without my divine will, the creature becomes like a besieged city that the enemy can train to dying of hunger and torture in all its members, with this difference, that the executioners who tears its members is his own will. They are not enemies who torment him, but he makes himself his own enemy. And this is so true, because we have God's will and our human will. God gave us our freedom. And every time, I mean, this is my personal experience, that, and I'm sure everyone had some experience of this, that every time we know that that's God's will, but we are fighting God's will because we have our ideas, we have our plans that we have to do. And then we want to do whatever we plan. So basically our human will. What happens? You just feel more miserable than before. But if you accept God's will, that maybe at the beginning is like, okay, yes. But when you give that yes, then you feel the peace coming along with that yes, that maybe is not as soon as you say it, but then you see, you feel inside of you that balm of peace that goes through you. And that's God's will. So we have to accept God's will, whatever it is. And everyone should stop a moment and say, when is the time that I fight God's will? Why do I fight God's will? And then maybe we can start from there and start to try to accept God's will and to ask for the grace, because it's a grace. And also to think of the people in the Bible, or even the Virgin Mary. She said yes. She said fiat to everything, and see what happened with her. Saint Joseph, another one, he said yes to everyone, to God's will. I mean, and everything went according to God's will. But there are also other people who didn't say yes to God's will, like Judah. He didn't say yes to God's will. He said yes to his human will. And then we know the end of his life. So we need to ask this grace to the Virgin Mary, who is the main model of the fiat. And then from there, we can find peace and joy if we say our yes. And then it say, if you knew the sorrow that I feel when I see souls torn to shreds, every act of one's will is a division that he forms between God and himself. It is a moving away from the beauty of one's creation. It is chilling himself from the true and pure love. It is losing himself from his origin. It is preparing for himself either an anticipated hell if the human will falls into grave evil, or purgatory if the evil is light. The human will is like a gangrene to the body that has the virtue of making the flesh fall in shreds and of deforming the beauty of the creature. So this is every time we do our human will, Jesus is there. He's suffering. He's suffering because he see his children choosing instead of heaven, choosing hell, because this is what happened when we do our human will, literally. And it's like a son, a father who has a lot of food in his house, and the son decide, and he said, no, I will eat the grass that it's in the garden. I mean, that's a big thing, because you have in the house, you have all the food, the best food that you can have, and you choose to eat grass. So this is the same things with the human will and the divine will. We always have to try at least to do God's will. And then the last sentence that I chose, it say, there is neither peace nor union without my will. So it's our choice if we want to live a life of peace, of joy, and that means doing God's will. But if we want to live a miserable life, we are free to do it, because Jesus is such a gentleman that he doesn't force us to do his will. So we can live a miserable life doing our human life will.
But you know, I'm chuckling. But you know what? The bluntness of that statement is so profound and so beautiful that I love it. I mean, our human will is insatiable. It'll never be satisfied. And you know, the saints in the past have told us about that. Yeah, we'll be chasing butterflies for all of eternity, because we're never going to be satisfied until we're back in that perfect union with God as per our creation at the beginning of Adam. Again, we're going back. We're moving forward, going back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. That's the only sense of happiness. Sister Francesca?
Yeah, I just want to add something really quickly because that was a great exercise that Sister Gemma gave us. it was a great talk and a great exercise. You know, where do I fight God's will? And the first thing that came to mind, and I think it was the Lord speaking to my heart, and maybe some other hearts out there. I hope somebody else out there. I hope I'm not alone. but to be aware of when you're convinced that your will is God's will. I think that's when we get really like aggravated.
I think that's called delusion, though.
Yeah, frustrating because it's like you get like this happened to me today. I mean, I don't want to give too many details, but during confession, I had a cook today. You know, we had the great gift of Holy Mass and confession this morning, but then I had a cook, and we have a little less time on Thursdays when we have Mass in the morning in our house. And I was getting a little frustrated with, I was being a Martha, and I was getting a little frustrated with all the tasks that I had to do. And our priest is wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so grateful for our priests. But he was kind of a little long-winded. And I had a good adoration. I had a cook, and I found myself inside getting like very upset, and I was justifying it. Well, but I have to cook and this and that and all these other reasons. And I just felt like the Lord saved my heart. But this is where I want you right now. This is exactly where I want him to speak as long as he's speaking. I want you to have less time cooking. Like all these things that we justify a lot of times when we get frustrated is really us being convinced that, well, it's because the other person is not doing God's will, but you know, just kind of bring that to prayer. Like Sister Gemma said in the beginning, you know, we have to also accept God's permissive will. So even if something's going on, that's not his ordained will, but his permissive will, it's still his will. Right. And we have to learn to accept it, and abandoning ourselves to the will of God is realizing that, you know, our will is not always what his will is.
Right. And that permissive will is actually more mysterious because it sometimes makes no sense unless we really trust God. I mean, how can an accident, near-death accident, be good for me, be one of the greatest moments in my life? I mean, you really have to, be a little crazy to think about that also. But, you know, it's all about gratitude. We have to be thankful for everything. And I'm thankful also that you didn't take this angst on air and start shouting at me. You could have done that very easily, but you didn't, Sister Francesca, and I appreciate that. And you know, you're a great sister, all three of you. And also, I have to mention this again. I mean, Sister Francesca, she's from New York, so she speaks English. Well, yeah, she speaks English. But Sister Gemma and Sister Elizabeth, I mean, English is their second language, but you would never know it unless I was articulating it. And I'm so amazed all the time that they're able to convert. I never think about it as being second language. I'm saying, wow, their grammar is better than mine. So again, that's a grace and that's a gift. And I think they realize that as well. And I know that Sister Elizabeth thinks that Sister Gemma and Sister Francesca are graces. Don't you think so?
Yeah, do you have some other compliments for us?
There's still a few moments left in the program, so I'll think of something.
We don't like compliments.
No, it's all legit. Seriously, I mean, I can speak five words of five different languages, but not enough to be dangerous or even to converse. But the fact that you can just come here in confidence and just, you know, articulate what you want to and understand my disjointed approach, and I'm amazed. I'm in beautiful shock. How about that?
Wow. We are amazed that you're amazed.
Yeah, you should be.
Anyway, about what you were saying at the beginning of the program, I just have to share with you. I had this image in my mind, you know, like about all this confusion in the church and people talking against Pope. And I just remember something we heard from a retreat by Christopher West when he was saying, whatever you do, do not abandon the ship, because this is like what the devil wants with all, like, even before, like, this here the scandal, there the scandal, right. People just leaving the church, even priests leaving the church because other priests, are involved in scandals. And then another thing is
can I just mention something on that point that's very important? I mean, St. Cyril Jerusalem, which is one of my favorite saints because he speaks about this intermediate coming of Christ, which is now preparing us for the final coming, he speaks, he has a quote that I'm going to try to get exactly. He says, you know, when things become difficult, he says, you may have to make some tough decisions. He says, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. So, end quote. So we may have to realign ourselves as things get, because again, my sense is now when things get really, if they get really, really bad, our faith and our trust in people are going to be, are they trusting and have faith in God? Are they actually willing to, if they had to, would they be willing to die a martyr? And I think that's the litmus test that I think we need to think about.
And this is also what's happening today in the families. First fight that they have, they don't agree on something, and they separate it. One goes one way and the other goes to the other place. So, and just to say that family and churches, they are in the same level and same things happening.
Right, because they both represent God. And it actually is an attack indirectly against God through faith and through the family. Sister Francesca and I were talking about, I mean, Satan is so clever, but he's diabolically clever, but he's very clever. But again, God wins. Sister Elizabeth.
And there's a very nice like picture that came to my mind when we were talking about this, and do not abandon the ship. Whatever you do, do not abandon the ship, because there are so many like trumpeteers that are saying, ship on sink, abandon ship, you know, because now everyone nowadays is like a messenger, because everybody can send emails or, you know, put things on YouTube. And it was not like that before. In fact, in the Bible, there's a quote in the Proverbs, do not ever entrust an important message to a unwise messenger.
That's so
because
true.
I mean, also in a war, you know, the first victim is the truth, and the propaganda and all these things, like you were mentioning before, the Communist Manifesto, you know, all this diabolical propaganda. So there is a beautiful image that actually happened. There is a movie, so it's a true story, a movie, Krakatoa, East of Java, about the eruption of volcano Krakatoa at the end of the 19th century. And there was a steamboat full of passengers that everybody was telling to this captain, no, pull back, there are waves 40 meters tall, it's like we're never gonna make, everybody is gonna die. And he was like desperate. He locked all the passengers under, you know, and at the bottom of the ship. And he tied himself to the, how do you call it, the wheel of the boat? The wheel of the boat. Mm-hmm. And just ran forward to this gigantic waves that were made by volcanic eruption. And they actually survived. I mean, it's beautiful in a movie, but I was just like, you know, imagining. And I also remember the... Recently, I just heard, I didn't know that. I always wonder, what does it mean, you know, under Pope Francis' picture is always, you know, this phrase, like every bishop has it. It says, miserando atque aligendo. And I look up to see what it means, and it means miserable but chosen. And it really struck me, I mean... He's chosen. He's our Pope. And I just kind of, I can imagine him like being tied up on a wheel of a boat, like going through this big storm. And I do believe he has the grace. He will have the grace for, you know, get us through with the grace of God.
That should be all of our hope.
Yeah, you're right. Look, can you imagine? I mean, like the Pope. Can you imagine being attacked from the outside as well as from the inside? I mean, where's your? I mean, he without God, he would never be able to even survive another day. It's just absolutely incredible. And again, we have to pray. We have to pray for the Pope. And again, everyone, Our Lady's always told us, whether it be the Marian Movement of Priests, her visions, her visitations, always pray for the Pope. He will suffer much. So again, we don't want to aid in the bed. And I think a lot of times that when I began to think that way, or I used to think that way, I think it's more pride and arrogance that sort of takes over. We may not recognize, but I think that was my issue. That was my illness, pride and arrogance. But hopefully I'm free of that disease. I don't know. Maybe not.
I will just, I will just read very briefly a passage from volume 36, June 30, 1938. How true love wants to find itself in the loved one. How our Lord formed many lives to let himself be found. And how knowledge opens all the doors between God and the creature. So Jesus telling to us through Louisa. At the head of these innumerable ways, I put my will as queen, while I put myself in waiting at every crossroad to receive her in my arms. So every time we do mistakes, we like sister said, we choose our own will. But Jesus is waiting at the crossroads. You know, we ask forgiveness and we ask to enter again in his will. I'm in waiting at every crossroad to receive her in my arms, but many times I wait in vain. My love does not give me peace or rest, so I put myself on her way in order to reach her at least halfway. And if I find her, I invest the act of the creature so I myself become her act and her way. Then with exuberant love, I cover her, hiding her in my love. So just, you know, keep trying. And whenever you fall, like whenever, like, for example, Sister Gemma was mentioning the families, even if you think, you know, like, okay, and maybe you're right, like I'm doing the right thing. My husband or my wife is not doing the right thing, or my children or like this. But, you know, like still never abandon the ship. That's the thing. There are sacraments. There is the obedience to God's law comes first. Even if it seems like no, but my rights and this and that. But yeah, just whenever you fall, just ask forgiveness of the Lord and ask to enter again into his will.
Amen. Beautiful advice. And, you know, the last topic we talked about was the words. You know, we have to be careful with our words. God loves to hear our words. We have to be careful, especially when myths, truths are spoken. I remember Mark Twain's quoted saying, a lie will travel halfway around the world before truth puts his boots on. So we don't know how far that lie will extend. So let's be very careful. And even Jesus tells Louisa, when you talk about the divine will, be very, very careful. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters, for your vocation and for your love. God willing, we'll see you next Thursday. Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.